I want to read to you a passage of scripture, and I want to read it to you to give you the context, and but I only want to focus really on one part of it. So it's Jesus presented in the temple from Luke chapter 2, and this is what we read in verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the failing and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was also a prophet, Anna. She was the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher, and she was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God. Now, I've actually lost my place. Oh. I wanted to read the part that says, "And Mary treasured all these things in her heart." That's really what I wanted to say. That must be Matthew's gospel. Sorry, my mistake. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. It's customary on this day to honour mums and to take the biblical model of motherhood and expound it and recite it and reiterate it. And typically, and I know I've done this in the past, I've actually gone to Proverbs 31 and spoken about the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, we all know this woman. This woman is beyond all belief. She's intelligent. She's thrifty. She's resilient. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's able to leap over tall mounds of washing in a single bound. She is the superwoman of the Bible. She is the woman every mother wants to be, and she is the woman every mother isn't. And I say that with all due respect, and I say that in as much as I would say that men, fathers and husbands, fall well short of the biblical model of fatherhood. And I'm sure after reciting and reminding people about the Proverbs 31 woman, that many women go home thinking, "Oh, I'll never be like her. You know, she's all things to all people." So what I want to do simply this morning is highlight five mothers from the Bible who are less than perfect, but show us very clearly that you can still be a blessing to your family, to the world, despite the fact that you're not the Proverbs 31 woman. And I want to begin with the first mother, the mother of us all, who is Eve. Eve is given the rap, the bad rap, perhaps the unfair rap, for making the most monumental mistake
of all time that then plunged humanity into sin. It was Eve who ate of the fruit. And it was Eve who is blamed for the state that we are in. I actually think that that's really unfair. I have a lot of sympathy for Eve. Quite apart from anything, Eve may have been the only one who remembered where the tree actually was to eat from it. Because we all know that women know where stuff is and are very good at finding things. But the deeper theological reality is this, that Adam is actually to blame. It was Adam that was missing in action at the time. And I've got a feel for Eve, and I do feel some deep sympathy for this woman who didn't have a mum in whom she could confer, who in a sense was the ultimate trailblazer when it comes to motherhood. And it's Eve who experienced the mother of all grief. It was Eve's children who were involved in the first homicide who did that quite independent of TV violence and World of Warcraft. And it was Eve who did what no mother should ever need to do, and that is that she buried her children, her child. The second mother I want to reference who is less than perfect is Sarah. Sarah reminds us that not every woman's biological time clock is the same. And Sarah was waiting for a child. God had promised to her husband Abraham, or Abram at the time, that he would be the father of a great nation. And Sarah obviously assumed that she would be the mother of a great nation. Well, Sarah got to 90 and nothing was happening. And it wasn't for lack of trying. So to short circuit the whole process, Sarah offered her handmaiden, whose name was Hagar, and she offered her up as the maternal stunt double and said, "You go and lie with my husband and we'll have a child this way." Well, she had a child, but it wasn't the child. And the angel visited Sarah and said to Sarah, "You will be the mother of the child, and his name will be Isaac." And the Bible tells us at that moment, Sarah laughed. Well, we sometimes think it's a laughing derision. But if you're 90 and you're told you're going to fall pregnant, you would laugh too. And the second time, and there's all sorts of places we could go with that, but we won't. And the second time that Sarah laughed was when Isaac was actually born. And Sarah reminds us that you can laugh in the face of adverse circumstances, knowing that God works in all things and at all times, and good things come to those who wait. The third mother I want to reference is a lady called Jochebed. Now, we don't hear much of Jochebed, and you've got to be careful how and where you say that, and you don't spit on someone. You can't say that within 6 inches of them because you will spit on them, Jochebed. And Jochebed is the mother, did you know, of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And Jochebed took her son, Moses, and put him in a basket. And Moses was thereafter referred to as the ultimate basket case. And Moses was put in the Nile River. Now, it was Pharaoh's daughter that spotted Moses floating down the river in this wicker basket. And it was Pharaoh's daughter who rescued Moses. And providentially, Jochebed was then consigned or employed to be the nursing mother of Moses. And Jochebed reminds us that mothers are fiercely determined and will do anything for the well-being of their children. The fourth mother I want to reference is the mother called Bathsheba. She was one of the wives of David, and you know the story. Bathsheba is perhaps a relevant name for her because it was while she was bathing. It's while she was bathing that David saw her and took a liking to her and summoned her, and their illicit sexual relationship, which was initiated by David — you don't refuse the king, by the way — resulted in the birth of a son. Now, we know, don't we, the implications and the results of that for the house of... That was the beginning of the end of the United Kingdom of Israel. Sorry. That was the beginning of the end of the joint kingdom, the north and the south. We know the implications of that. And David was bitterly, bitterly repentant over his sin. But we never, ever know how Bathsheba felt about that whole circumstance. That she was summoned by the king. That she was really coerced to be a wife. And in the process, she lost the husband of her youth. Yet they gave birth to a son called Solomon. And he was a peaceable king, and his wisdom was legendary. And it shows us that God can work in even the most unideal circumstances. You know, there are many people who get married for the wrong reason but stay together for the right reason. And you never know that the child that's sitting in the high chair opposite you, who's drooling and spitting and refusing to eat his dinner or her dinner, might actually be the wisest person in the world. And the fifth mother I want to speak about is Mary. Mary was told that she was to be highly favoured, but I think Mary would feel anything other than being highly favoured. Teenager, pregnant, and teenage pregnancy was frowned upon. It was socially a terrible situation for Mary. Uncertain, and yet she was told that she would be the bearer of the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, Jesus, and that he would be a gift. But every gift comes with work. There was still skin knees to clean up and babies to be fed. And there are many instances in the life of Mary where we see her faithfulness and we see her honouring the promise that God had given her. But I think the most poignant moment is at the cross, where the disciples might flee and the followers will hide, but a mother will never abandon her children. And it's a powerful moment. It's a powerful moment. And Mary really is the whole tapestry of what I think motherhood is, from my perspective. I'm not a mother myself. Someone, at least two people, wished me Happy Mother's Day today, but I had to inform them that I wasn't a mother. But I knew what the sentiment was. But Mary shows us the rich tapestry of what motherhood is. Intense pain, excitement, joy, and ultimately faithfulness to their children. This morning, mums, we honour you. We honour you for all that you are and all that you've done for your children. We see your determination. We see your loyalty. We see the sacrifices that you have made. We see the way that you've wonderfully provided for your children. And this morning we honour you. And we acknowledge that you are a gift from God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to thank you for all of the gifts that you've given, but in particular we thank you for our mums. We thank you for their nurturing and their compassion. We thank you for their persistence. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given. We thank you for all that they are and all that they mean. And this morning I pray that all the mums here and those that aren't will just feel a full measure of your blessing and would hear ahead of time your words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." So we choose to bless our mums today. May they enjoy the beauty of this day. May they enjoy the companionship of family and friends. And may they be honoured as we do it in and through the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.